This is Sports Spectrum, the sports and faith podcast where we bring Jesus into the conversation. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
Welcome, everyone, to Sports Spectrum's podcast. I am Jason Romano. My email address is jason@sportsspectrum.com. jason@sportsspectrum.com. I'd love to hear from you. Any ideas you have on guests? Any feedback? Just want to say hello? Maybe you have a guest idea for a future show? You can reach me directly, jason@sportsspectrum.com. And we are presented today by our partners at Water Mission. And they do such great work fighting the global water crisis with safe water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions in developing countries and disaster areas. You can check them out over at watermission.org. Watermission.org. We're also presented today by Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world, a chance for you to team up with Compassion and professional athletes to help release children from poverty. Check out the website, compassion.com/team up, to learn more. Compassion.com/team up. Steve Palazzolo is our guest today on Sports Spectrum. He is a senior analyst with Pro Football Focus. And if you're a football junkie, you know about Pro Football Focus. They break it down like no one else does in the game of football, specifically in the NFL. But Steve's got a great story. Yes, we talk about his very unique job with Pro Football Focus, but he's also a former pro baseball pitcher. Now, he came up in the minor leagues and made it as high as AAA in 2008, 2009, 2010. He was one step away from achieving that dream that every baseball player looks to achieve, and that is a chance to pitch in the major leagues. But it didn't happen for Steve. And so then that baseball career was over and he pivoted into the pro football world. So it's an interesting story about how he goes from the pro baseball world to the pro football world. And now he's doing great work with Pro Football Focus. But even deeper than just the work that he does is his faith. And a lot of wrestling with that faith as well. He's had a journey with Jesus for sure. And he shares that powerful story here on the show today. Take a listen to Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus joining us on Sports Spectrum's podcast. Let's start by learning about your job and the role with Pro Football Focus. There's a really cool story on how you got the job, but let's table that for a second and talk specifically about the role that you have now. I know you've told me in the past you wear and have worn a lot of different hats with Pro Football Focus. What is your role specifically now? What does it entail? What do you do? And maybe even share, if for those listening that don't know, what Pro Football Focus is.
Yeah, so essentially the company, you know, we started grading every single NFL player, and this was back in like the late last decade, you know, 2008, 2009. I joined in 2011. We grade every single player from a production standpoint. And it was something that was never really done. And believe it or not, it actually started with a guy in England, a crazy guy who just loved football and wanted to understand the game in a whole different way. And if you knew our founder, Neil, you would realize he doesn't do anything halfway. He just goes all out. So he's like, I'm going to grade every player. So, you know, the right guard gets a grade on every play. And it's evolved. You know, Chris Collinsworth bought the company in 2014. And I've worn many hats because I was the sixth full-time employee back in 2011. So we were partially just data collectors and, you know, collecting all this data and grading. And then NFL teams got interested. So now we have every NFL team as a client, essentially buying our database. We have 90 plus FBS teams buying all of this data. Then we have a whole consumer side where we sell fantasy subscriptions and just general football stat subscriptions. And then we just have content. You know, we write about the stuff, all the insights that we have. And then, you know, I host a podcast. And then, you know, we're evolving through other mediums, doing YouTube video and all sorts of different stuff. So right now, I am half project manager, where I'm working more on the team side and creating products for our NFL team clients, and then half the quote unquote talent, Jason, you know how that is. They call us talents. I'm just the guy that, you know, has a voice and helps to represent the company and talk about football. So
no, I love it. Pro Football Focus. If you're a football fan, NFL fan, that's the place to go to really dive deep. I call it football junkies. What's the hardest part about your job? What would you say is the difficult part? Because you have the content side, you have the client side, you have the talent side. What's the toughest part?
I think, you know, for years we always felt like, so we have like a snarkiness to our brands that I think stemmed from us feeling like we needed to voice our opinion and have people listen. And that's how, you know, the people that came up through PFF felt like, you know, we've got this incredible information and like, we actually do know who the best left tackle is. You guys are just guessing. We actually have the information. We had to scream from the rooftops that we had this good information. And people are like, well, you don't know. You don't know the play call. You don't know how to grade them. And, you know, you have coaches criticizing us and players don't like us if they don't have a good grade. So I think it's more just explaining to people that we believe in our information. We think it's really cool. And you can glean a lot of insights from it. So the challenge, I think, is always conveying that message and also conveying it in a simple way, which is where Chris Collinsworth has come in and helped quite a bit, because that's his job, is on Sunday Night Football. He always says, I'm speaking to grandma. You know, I have to explain football to grandma or to whoever doesn't necessarily understand the game that well. And he's helped us do that and just simplify things.
I think it's cool to have a guy like Collinsworth on board too. It elevates the level, I have to imagine, because you were there beforehand. It must have elevated that platform tenfold, a hundredfold when he got his name attached to it.
He just opened so many doors, you know, and it's not even that he, you know, we would represent the product more, but he had the, you know, the name behind it. And it's just the funniest thing, because he worked so hard at his job, and it's just to make sure that he doesn't aggravate the last Cowboys fan, right? He doesn't want anybody to say, how do you not know our third string tight end? How do you not know him? So he worked so hard. He was researching, he found PFF, and a phone call away, he was like, man, I'm just going to buy it. You know, I'm just going to get in on this, you know? And I think that passion, because he's the best salesman for it. He's like, I wanted it so much. I bought it. Therefore you guys should be buying it too. And he's opened a ton of doors in that respect.
Are you that guy around friends who, when you're hanging out and you're just, you know, shooting the breeze, are you the guy that they come to for all the football questions? I remember when I was at ESPN, people would be like, what are they saying about this guy when it came to fantasy? And it was all sports, not just the NFL. Are you that guy? Can you have conversations with people who don't like sports and not have to talk about your job?
No, I get that quite a bit. It is funny though. I mean, there's a Christian podcast here. So it is funny. A lot of people at church, like, don't follow football that much. They've got their own interests, but like, the Lord kind of brings us together, much like baseball, right? It's like this melting pot of people with different interests. But the few people that I do run into that have football interests, like, yeah, it is that, you know, what are you hearing? What's this? What's that? Give me some fantasy or betting advice, you know, whatever it might be. Yeah. And that's not even my expertise, but yeah, you get that a little bit.
Are you still a fan? And I used to work with Greeny, and he was very, you know, not shy, we'll just say, about his love for the Jets. And he still has been, yet he could cover all sports and certainly be objective at the same time. You grew up in Mass, I believe, right? North Reading, Massachusetts. So are you a Patriots fan, or have you been a Patriots fan?
You know, we're supposed to be completely unbiased analysts, and we are, you know, as far as the actual data that goes in, it's completely unbiased. I think I decided to go down with Brady. It was the decision I made a few years ago. I'll be a Tom Brady fan. So I'm just going to kind of root for him. Okay. And then when he's gone, complete no bias and everything. The Patriots games and Brady driven games the last few years are kind of like the 3 hours a week I kind of allow myself to just to let go, because I don't have, you know, I root for the Red Sox and other Boston teams. I just don't have the time to invest in them as much as I used to, though.
Right. I mean, your job keeps you busy. Steve Palazzolo is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. He's from Pro Football Focus. All right. So your journey is an interesting one to me, because hearing your love for football would make one think, he played football, and you may have played football, but you didn't play it professionally. You played baseball, and that was really what you and I, because you and I met over at the Super Bowl in Miami before the pandemic, when we could actually talk in person. You and I had a really great conversation, and where I kind of learned a little bit about your journey. And baseball was the sport initially, not football, right?
Yeah, it was. It was everything. I mean, that was my passion growing up. I did love football too, but everything I did growing up was pointed toward, you know, becoming a professional baseball player. And you know, playing through high school, going to college, you know, getting undrafted out of college. And then I'm 6'10" and I kind of used myself as like my own little science experiment. I was like, I went undrafted and I knew I could get a little bit better. I just worked so hard at just baseball. That was my thing. So yeah, I played 8 years in the minors and bounced around and made it up to AAA, played at the lowest levels, at the highest levels, all over the place. And then it was really a blessing that I was able to smoothly transition to football. Like I transitioned to football and like didn't miss a beat and, you know, probably even became happier. Which I know so many, there's actually like a Facebook group of former minor league baseball players, this little secret group that we have, and there's thousands in there. And there's so many guys just struggling with the transition from like this. It's just like a selfish life, Jason. It's like you are, everything that you do is pointed to this one kind of worldly goal of becoming a major league baseball player. And when guys lose that, a lot of times it's a struggle. And I was just really blessed to not necessarily have that and to stumble in from one fake job to another fake job, going from playing baseball to analyzing football.
So I have a lot of questions regarding that part of the journey, but let me intersect the conversation a little bit with faith. Where does your faith story take shape? And I know it kind of intersects actually based upon the conversation that we had at the Super Bowl with your baseball journey, your faith journey. So walk us through a little bit of that.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up in the church. I think my mom always jokes I was Catholic for like 9 months of my life, I think. And then my grandmother, you know, first like really got saved back in 1982, like back when I was born. And I grew up in more of like a Pentecostal church, one of the very few up in Massachusetts. And that was my life, you know, going to church and, you know, God's the center of what we do. And it was rare in my circle of friends, went to youth group every Friday night. You know, it was cool because my very best, I have two who I call best friends, different guys, but I grew up with both of them in the youth group. And one of them I went to high school with, and we were essentially attached at the hip. He was the catcher for the baseball team. I was the pitcher. We both went to youth group. We both did this whole thing together. So that was kind of a cool journey growing up. And then our church kind of disbanded. It was a kind of an ugly, you know, as God's speaking to me throughout the years, just people let you down, right? I mean, that's kind of the part of the entire journey, right? It's not Jesus, it's people that let you down. And I think that's what happened back with this church that was just my life for 20 years, you know, where I went and all that stuff. So that kind of, and then that was perfect timing for me to just focus on myself and be selfish and kind of focus on my baseball career and not necessarily put Christianity on the back burner, but certainly not proud of all the decisions I made in my 20s and early 30s, you know, and eventually, you know, met my wife right along toward the end of my baseball career. And, you know, it was just funny because I never really had that home church or home base to kind of like fall back on. I think that helped part of the reason why I may have strayed away a little bit, but it was actually my wife who was unsaved, who ended up getting saved when I was on a road trip in AAA. And it was the complete opposite of what should have happened. You know, her kind of like telling me to wake up along the way. So that part of the journey was eye-opening. And I think it's really important with this whole marriage thing, which I feel like I looked at marriage just the whole wrong way growing up. Like, you're going to have this perfect woman and perfect life, and she's going to be this perfect compliment to you. And my wife is perfect for me because she challenges me in the ways that I need to be challenged. It's not like, hey buddy, you know, just go play video games and do your own thing. And anyway, she's been great. And it was just this, an incredible journey of kind of like coming back to God in a way that was, you know, probably not expected.
Take me through that, because here's you, the guy who grew up as, you know, a Christian, walking away from faith, your wife unsaved, my guess is not churched at all, depending on what that word means, and then begins a relationship with the Lord that probably, as you say, maybe in the perfect world that you think would happen, you lead her to Christ or whatever, right? And that doesn't happen. She, in essence, in some ways, leads you back to Christ. Can you walk us through the dynamics and maybe the moment for you that you were like, yeah, I got to get, you know, what, something's not right here. I've been straying, I've been drifting, and I need to figure this thing out.
Yeah. And honestly, it's actually happened a couple times, and it just shows how stubborn I am sometimes. So in 2009, I'm in AAA, And that was the closest I was to the big leagues. I made it to the big leagues for 2 days, essentially. I got to sit in the bullpen in spring training in 2009. I never got into a game. I was just like the backup because, you know, they have all nine innings laid out. Everybody's going to pitch, whatever. And then if a guy struggles, you might go in. And I never went in, but I got to sit in the bullpen. So it was the closest I was to the big leagues. So the 2009 season was supposed to be my year. You know, I was actually started as the closer in AAA, and that's, you know, I got pretty good stuff. You're a closer. You could be a major league pitcher. Started the year great. It was supposed to be my year that I was going to make it finally at 27 years old. And then it didn't go that way. And I'm sitting there in August and I'm still in AAA. She was my girlfriend at the time. She came down to Nashville to watch us play. And one of my best friends now lives down there, and his grandparents were the ones that were pastoring our initial church that disbanded. So we actually went to church on a Sunday morning because we had a night game that night. And that was probably the biggest turning point in my wife's life. She kind of got saved that summer with like my mom in my backyard while I was out across the country in California playing baseball. But this was like a Sunday morning at church, and like God spoke to her. I mean, it was direct, and she was like, all right, this is serious. And then coming out of that, I think she looked at me and was like, all right, you're supposed to help me out here. You know, like you're supposed to guide me. And she's like, what do? We got to find a church. We got to do this. And she was the one kind of like pushing. I'm like, listen, honey, like I've got a baseball career to worry about. I'm not saying that, but that's where my head was at the time. And she was just saying, listen, let's, you know, you tell me that this is serious to you, that this is important. So like, let's go. So she was the one who kind of helped us find a church and all this stuff. And my lesson there was like, if I had lived my dream and been in San Francisco with the Giants in August, you know, she doesn't have that experience necessarily. Of course, God's going to, you know, move the way he's going to. But in the natural sense, it's like, all right, I've got my plans that had me in San Francisco in their bullpen in August of 2009. And God's plan was like, you can sit in AAA with your 5 ERA, but your wife's going to get saved and completely change the course of your life and subsequently your 4 kids' life and this whole thing, right? So that's the biggest lesson I think I learned. And, you know, I stumbled across the minors the next couple of years, retired from that and moved on. And then, you know, it's been more her kind of pulling me a little bit then. And then when we moved to Cincinnati a few years ago, I think we kind of both got pulled into like a slightly different church, and we're not like in ministry, but we're participating a lot more. And, you know, we're feeling led to participate in the ministries that are here. And that's been a lot of the journey, is her being led by God, maybe more than I have been. And, you know, for that, I need to repent a little bit, but I think it's been awesome that, you know, that I've really completely seen her life change.
We'll get back to our conversation with Steve Palazzolo in just a little bit, but want to tell you some more about our friends at Water Mission, working to stop the global spread of COVID-19 by providing safe water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions, urgently needed safe water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions to refugee settlements and other vulnerable companies. They do amazing work, and I was reading about something that they're doing right now in Tanzania, where hospitals and clinics don't have adequate hand washing facilities or a steady supply of safe water. And it's funny to think about that, because here in the United States, of course, we have proper hand washing facilities and safe water, but we're talking about underdeveloped countries that can't even keep their hands washed. And really, that's one of the most effective ways to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, right? And so Water Mission is doing great work in Tanzania right now, and building pump stations to allow for hand washing stations to take place throughout the country. And it's pretty cool. That's what happens with your money. Your money is going to places like Tanzania that do not have adequate hand washing facilities or a steady stream of safe water. That's what Water Mission's about. That's what they're doing. And you can learn more about the great work they're doing and partner with them and sow into that ministry by going to watermission.org, fighting the global water crisis, watermission.org. We're also presented today by Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. And COVID-19 has also left many children some 70,000 children across the world without a sponsor through Compassion. That's the capacity of an average NFL stadium. And we've told you about the great team up effort that Compassion is doing, teaming up with pro athletes to respond to this challenge, this urgent challenge, to help save potentially 70,000 children who might go without a sponsorship through Compassion International. So you can donate right now and become a part of this, teaming up with pro athletes to fill the stadium and really meet the needs in the next critical 12 months for these children. Check out compassion.com/teamup to learn more and to donate today. compassion.com/teamup. Now back to our conversation with Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus, joining us here today on Sports Spectrum's podcast. Yeah. Give me one story not Jose Canseco related that just kind of epitomizes the minor league baseball life. Because whenever we have guys on, and we've had a lot of guys on here actually who have not made it to the majors or just made their debut maybe in the last year or two, who grinded it out. And I use that word a lot, the grind of – it's a grind in general, but the minor league baseball world is truly a grind. But there's a lot of fun stories that come out of that grind. Can you share one story maybe for our audience?
I was listening to your pod with Sal just the other day.
Sal Giordano.
I don't know if I could keep up with some of his, though, becoming a coach and the whole the bus accident. You know, we had a bus breakdown one time, like in the Bronx, I think it was. When I was in independent ball, and it was like 1 a.m. and we had guys, I mean, you're stuck there for a few hours. We had guys like pull their equipment out, and on the side of the street, we had like a little pickup game, throwing their uniform on, and they were playing, you know, pitching to each other, like across the street. I mean, it was just sitting there on a broken bus, you know, and it, my first experience, actually, I played in Florence, Kentucky, which ironically we attend two churches down here that are kind of connected here. One's in Cincinnati and one's in Florence, Kentucky. Like of all of the places that I started my baseball career, it's like right down the street from where I go to like our little Friday night services now. It was amazing. But that first experience, it was an independent team, the Florence Freedom. Within a month, I think the owner hadn't paid. The owner owed like millions of dollars on the stadium. She had her son playing on the team, but he never really should have been. And they fled and they were being chased by the FBI. Jeez. And I mean, it was like a whole ordeal. Like minor league independent baseball, it's its own world. Minor league baseball is its own world. And yeah, it's crazy. It's definitely a grind, but you know, the people that do it, we all love it because there's this, you know, special goal at the end if you can make it.
Yeah. I love that. And I know you've probably seen a lot of your former teammates get that opportunity. Who are some of the guys that you played with and saw come through the system that some of our audience would know that are now playing in the big leagues?
Yeah, so I spent time with the Giants, Brewers, and Mariners. So we've got, you know, Buster Posey. I was with him in AAA just a little bit. Pablo Sandoval before he went up. I was there for Madison Bumgarner's first ever pro day. He had just been drafted and he came out and he was just a 17-year-old kid trying to figure it out. Like, just it's really tough on baseball players who get drafted out of high school. They're just so young, like, and you just get thrown into this mix, like, hey, go become a man. And yeah, I feel like guys that play in college just have at least a little advantage in the transition. But you know, Bumgarner, Lorenzo Cain, I was there with him and the Brewers, and Michael Brantley, we were all on the same team in low A. So yeah, I've seen a bunch through the years.
Was it hard to watch guys go to the big leagues when you thought maybe that was supposed to be you?
Yeah, there was one year, kind of like 2008 was another year. Like I started in double A, went up to triple. I was the first guy up to triple A from our rotation or from our pitching staff that year. And then I got hurt a couple of days in. And that was funny too. We had a 4-day road trip in Tucson and our, you know, spring training site is in Scottsdale, and they were like, listen, you're going to go to Scottsdale just for the weekend, get your elbow checked out, you'll be back with us, you know, by Monday. I was there for like a month and a half. Mm-hmm. I mean, I packed for like a weekend trip, and they just keep you there because they're conservative with the injury stuff. And now at 2008, if you go back and look at the Giants roster, like everybody got called up that year, everybody in double A, everybody in triple A, guys that only had that year in the big leagues and never really made it going forward because the Giants were just starting to turn things around. So that was the only year that kind of hurt a little bit. It was like, man, if I just didn't get hurt, like I probably would have gotten called up that particular year. So yeah, it hurts a little bit, but again, Big
they
picture.
Went in, they went on to win three World Series in the next 5 years. So that
the year they released me. Yeah, 2010, they released me and they won 3 out of 5. So I always joke, like, they got rid of the bad apple.
Unbelievable. Now, the Canseco story, we got to hear that, because you said Jose Canseco ended my career. Your last season in pro baseball was 2011. Tell that story.
So I was going to play again in 2012, and this was going to be like, all right, I just finished another year and a half of independent ball. Like, I'm probably not getting another shot with a major league team, but I'm just going to go out on top and just have one more year, just kind of enjoy the summer with the Worcester Tornadoes, who I had played with in 2005. So it's an independent team. And in this particular league, you're allowed only 4 veteran spots, you know, guys with a certain amount of experience. So I was going to be the 4th veteran. I was almost like a player coach that year, but someone else got the pitching coach job. It was fine. But I was going to be like the closer that year, reliever, whatever. Finished out the year, I was going to get married that year and then probably transition to PFF. I had it all planned out. And then all of a sudden, Jose Canseco wants to make a comeback. And he just wants to have this publicity stunt. And he's going to pitch and play the outfield and do all this stuff. So they called me up. They said, well, Jose's taking your veteran spot. We have to do it. Sell tickets and this and that. So I was kind of – I was out of luck. They couldn't get rid of the other veterans. They were like everyday players. So I was going to have this, you know, nice finish to my career in 2012. And instead they were like, nope, sorry. See you later. We got Jose.
I think he was like 48 or something like that at the time.
Oh yeah.
Right?
When I started in 2005, Oil Can Boyd was making a comeback like in his 50s, and Canseco did it. You'd always kind of see that, you know, guys just show up, you know, randomly. And yeah, it was Canseco and the poor timing that essentially ended my career.
Well, your career ends, but a new one begins. And you even said kind of slightly there, you just alluded to it, that you had this plan to go work for PFF while you were still playing baseball. So where does that come from a guy who's a baseball guy working into this world of football and becoming this pro football focused dude? Where does that happen?
It never really made sense, but my last year playing in 2011. So there was a point in my career, like I mentioned I went undrafted, and I just spent so much time studying pitching mechanics and studying everything I could to get better. And I think I reached a point where it was like, all right, let's not overthink this. Like, you have major league caliber ability, just go out and focus. So I almost needed like a new hobby, so to speak. So toward the end of my career, instead of focusing every last second on baseball, I turned more to football, which I always loved. So I studied football left and right. PFF was like, I used it as a fan. I loved it. And in 2011, it was my last year playing. I reached out just to see if they needed help. I was going to make a little extra money on the side, just charting games for them. And I did it during the 2011 football season, right after I finished, crossed over a little bit with baseball season. So I did it in a part-time role in 2011. And at the end there, they said, you know, hey, they thought that they'd have a full-time role available. I was good at it. You know, I just understood the game and, you know, I fit what they were looking for. So I kind of knew that in 2012, the plan again was to play baseball throughout the summer and then transition to this full-time role as I get married and all that stuff. The only thing is I didn't play baseball, but yeah, it was weird. I mean, it all started with like an email out of nowhere, you know, hey, do you guys need help? They said, yes, I was good at it in a part-time role and a full-time role was there. And again, you know, 6 of us, 7 of us, 8 of us, as we grew, you know, started to build the company from there.
Are you on a Sunday during the NFL season charting while you're watching, or do you have to let the games play out and then basically go to Game Pass or whatever you use to go back and chart after the games are over?
We used to have to do it after. Now we've got an ability to do it real time. We've created some software to be able to do that real time. And then luckily because I'm more on the talent side now, I can kind of just watch every game and kind of take it in. And I'm not like in the day-to-day grind of the data collecting, which, as you're building a company, was great. We'd sleep like 3 hours a night, you know, Monday through Wednesday, just to get all these games done as we were building the company. But yeah, it's all in real time. And then there's about 3 or 4 different reviews and everything just to make sure all the data is right.
Last couple of questions here with Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus here on Sports Spectrum. We are the intersection of sports and faith. So how do those worlds intersect for you? Maybe they don't. Maybe they're separate worlds, at least at this point. But are you able to intersect that world? You know, Tony Dungy asked me a question once. He said, how do you live out your faith here at ESPN, Jason? And I was like blown away. I said, I don't think that's even possible. Like, how do I live out my faith? I have a job at ESPN and I go to church, and I didn't really understand it until he explained that it was just how you carry yourself and taking your faith with you wherever you go. What's that look like for you?
Yeah, it's a work in progress. You know, I think, I think it's easy. I always say that you can either be influenced or you're an influencer, right? I mean, I think when you're in a room, you're either pushing one way or, you know, pushing the other way. And I think it's easy to get sucked up in, if there's one regret in my life, it's being like a chameleon to my situation, right? It's like, I'm with these guys, I'm going to act like this, or, you know, follow their lead or whatever it is. And if there's one lesson I want to tell my kids, it's to be the influencer, be the leader, you know, be the person that's dictating the room. So to me, that's the thing that God's always working with me on is kingdom mindset and having a completely different, you know, viewpoint of everything because you're supposed to, you know? And I think a lot of lukewarm Christians, so to speak, struggle with like, what does Christianity even look like? And a lot of times, because we're fed like a Sunday sermon of bullet points, you feel like on Monday morning, it's like, all right, let me just implement these bullet points. Like, here are my action items for the week. But I think it's always from within. And if there's one thing I think the Bible is consistent with, it's like process over results, right? It's like, if you just put me first, everything else will take care of itself, right? If you just fear God, you're going to have enough wisdom, you know, and it's all going to take care of itself. I think I looked at sports that way. It's like, if I take care of my process in the off season, I don't have to worry about the day to day as much during the season. You know, I think that's the way I boil down the Christian walk. Sometimes it's like, just put God first in everything, and you're going to have a completely different mindset from everyone else, and it'll show through. You don't have to try or work extra hard, right? You take care of the foundation, so to speak, you know? So that's the stuff I'm always, you know, always trying to work on and be focused on. And I think when you do that, you become more of like a leader or an influencer for those around you.
I like that. You can either be influenced or be an influencer. And one of the things that's really cool that I love about your story, Steve, and you do this, I believe, with your wife, is this ministry, Heritage House, that you're a part of. It's this faith-based program, you know, and it's God's placed this on your heart to serve those who are stuck in addiction. I want to give you just a second to kind of talk about that and your desire and your heart to get involved with that and what this ministry entails.
Yeah, I mean, so my wife and I, we moved to Cincinnati when the boss, Chris Collinsworth, he moved us here in 2016. We were going to a church in the area here. And again, it was almost like what I described. It was just a little bit routine oriented, and we were doing our thing, and it was a big church, and we'd go and come back and try to interact as much as we could. But my wife's friend led us to this other church just to kind of check it out. And we came out of it, and being around church my whole life, I think it's easy to be skeptical because there's so many battles going along. There's people who are battling prosperity messages. There's people who are battling, you know, corrupt leaders and whatever it is. And when I stepped into this church in Cincinnati, you look to like a side of the church and there's about 50 guys and they're all battling addiction. And they're either 1 week into it or 8 months into it or whatever it is. And they're all battling addiction. And then once a month, there's like a graduation through this program. And it's like this church shows their fruit every single week. So I didn't have to sit there and, you know, let me evaluate this church for 3 or 4 months and see where their heart is and see where their fruit is and all that stuff. It spoke to me that like they are in the discipleship ministry and you didn't have to worry. You know how if you're worried about the prosperity message, you're like, all right, why are they asking for money? Or, you know, what are they doing with this money? Where's it going? I was like, man, this church is inviting people in who have nothing and they're investing in them and they don't want anything in return. So that really just spoke to me. And I never like grew up saying like, man, I'm going to help people who are addicted. But when you realize how affected everybody is by this. So Heritage House is the faith-based program that my church invests in. They bring in 50 to 75 guys, they give them a bed, and it's different from other drug programs because other drug programs use drugs to get them off drugs and to get them off heroin and pills. And they were like, we're going full stop, you're off the drugs and you're going to church 4 or 5 nights a week, and that Jesus is going to save you. You know, that is what's going to change your life. And when these guys make it through 9 months, you know, they stay sober. And the message of the program isn't like you're here to get sober, you're here to get clean. It's like you're here to get saved. And the thing, again, I appreciated about our pastor, he's a guy who just, you know, we always joke, like his look, he looks like a guy that you would say, you know, came from a biker gang or, you know, came from this. And he was a pastor's son. He just happens to dress and look the way he does. He was a pastor's son. He's never taken a drug in his life, but he connects with these guys because he said, I've never taken a drug. You guys have taken every last drug, but we both need a savior. You know, like we are in the same boat, and it's not a heroin, pill, drinking, addiction problem. It's a sin problem, and we all need that resolved. So, man, it spoke to my heart so much that I just wanted to be a part of it. And again, it was like, I don't have to worry about the heart of the leaders at this church because I know they're not getting anything out of this. I know they're just trying to invest in disciple people. And the stories are amazing. Like people that 4 and 5 years ago were just strung out and had no hope and suicidal and all that stuff. And they are like leaders and pillars in our church and in the community. And it's just, I tell them, like, you guys were under the influence and now you guys are influencers. And it, like, I think back to the Bible when all of the stories that were the most powerful were, I was blind, now I can see. Like, I used to be this way and now I'm a completely different way. And it wasn't fancy words and it wasn't great, you know, teachings that changed people's hearts. It was like, I used to be this terrible way and you saw that. And now I'm this completely different way. My life has completely changed. And we get to see that every single week. And it's awesome. And I think with the opioid epidemic and all this stuff going across the country, like people need to know, like, this is the way, like Jesus is the way to not only be clean from drugs, but to actually save your entire life, which is actually more important than just getting clean from drugs. So, yeah, Heritage House has been eye-opening for me for something that I wasn't necessarily looking for, but I was like, man, it's an incredible ministry because they just take guys that are absolutely broken and help to change their lives.
So good. Steve, this has been great, man. Thank you so much for joining me and joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. My last question to you is the one we ask all of our guests. What's the Lord showing you and teaching you right now? You know, this is such a weird year. I think when we saw each other, it was just a couple days after Kobe Bryant had passed. It was at the Super Bowl at Media Row. And that was just the beginning of 2020, and we had no idea that we'd be where we are now in 2020. What's the Lord been showing you during all this? What's he been teaching you?
That is crazy. It was the last time we had normal world when we saw each other. There's been a lot. I think early in the pandemic, it was like, you know, where are you going to turn? You know, I really think, social media can be so negative. And when you follow, we probably follow a lot of the same people. It is just a flood of negativity a lot of times. And it's like the world is falling. And it's like, well, the Bible kind of said this stuff's going to happen, right? As a Christian, your viewpoint needs to be completely different. So early in the pandemic, it's like, where are you going to turn? You know, like, are you going to worry about me? Am I going to worry about football season happening and having a job and having the same salary and all these, where are you going to turn? And I keep going back to like what I said earlier in the podcast, the simplicity of when you put God first in everything you do, he said all that stuff's going to, you know, fall into place. He didn't say you were going to be rich. He didn't say you were going to be this or that. He said, I will just take care of you and it'll be fine. And then when you with some of the social justice stuff too, I really think God spoke to me about this whole, like, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and, you know, true godly justice. Like when you're wise and you fear the Lord, you fear his justice. And if you fear God's justice, like none of that stuff would happen. And again, I think all of that stuff, it's a sin issue, not necessarily the way we want to paint it. I'm very careful the way I'm trying to word all this stuff, but
no, I get it.
It's a sin issue, right? And it's a heart issue. And I really think, Jesus is the answer for all of these things, you know, and that's, it's on us to help the people. Where are you going to turn? And are you going to put God first in everything you do? And it really is the answer for so much. So I think the pandemic was a test in that sense when people, I need my sports. I need this. I just want to go eat. You know, we all lost every bit of comfort for a while. And you either sat there sulking or just begging for a, you know, Chicago Bulls documentary, or you completely changed your mindset. And I think, you know, that's kind of where I've been at these last few months.
That's good. He is Steve Palazzolo. He is from Pro Football Focus. You can check out all the stuff there. Just search Pro Football Focus. And it's a great tool if you're a football fan. So go check that out. And this has been great, man. So good to connect and really do this through the podcast. And I look forward to chatting again and talking to you again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And many thanks to Steve Palazzolo for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. He's got a really good story, and I love his heart for the Lord. I love the mission that he's involved in, the Heritage House, really working with those that are stuck in addiction. And I love his story. He's got a lot of them. I told him after he was done, I said, you could write a book, man, because you played in the minor leagues and you got enough stories right there for a whole book. But now the work that he's doing with Pro Football Focus and even the work that he's doing in ministry, serving those that are stuck in addiction, leading them towards Christ, pointing them towards Christ as our hope. Pretty awesome stuff there from Steve Palazzolo. 6'10". He's a large man. I met him at the Super Bowl in Miami this past January. He came over and I didn't really know who he was from his face. We had exchanged messages on Twitter and follow each other on Twitter, but I didn't really know who he was. And he came over and we sat and we talked for, gosh, it must have been at least a half hour. And he shared his story a little bit and his desire to serve God in all that he does. And, you know, I listened and I love what he had to say, but I was also very distracted by the large man that he is, 6'10". I can't imagine trying to hit a baseball off of Steve Palazzolo. But give him a follow on Twitter. He's at PFF_Steve. PFF_Steve. Tweets a lot about football, but you can send him a note. Let him know that you heard his story here on Sports Spectrum. And I know it encouraged me. I hope it encouraged you as well. Thanks to Steve for joining us here today on the show. We also want to thank, again, our partners today, Water Mission. Check them out at watermission.org as they fight the global water crisis amidst COVID-19. Watermission.org. And then, of course, Compassion International. They do such great work releasing children from poverty. Check them out at compassion.com/teamup. Compassion.com/teamup. We also want to direct you to our website, sportspectrum.com. That's the home base for all of our content here at the Ministry of Sports Spectrum. Over at sportspectrum.com, we have a daily devotional to start your day right every day with the Lord, Monday through Friday, right there on the website. We have articles, stories, all day long, every single day, different stories from athletes, coaches, and others in the sports world intersecting with their faith in the Lord. And then our podcast is there. Every single episode of the podcast can be found at sportspectrum.com. It can also be found at our YouTube channel. And of course, every app that you listen to podcasts on, Sports Spectrum is there. And do us one quick favor, if you could. Would you leave a 5-star review of this podcast, especially on Apple Podcasts app? It just helps get the word out. Those reviews kind of elevate the show, and it's a great way to kind of tell others about this podcast, the Sports Spectrum podcast, the intersection of sports and faith in Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Jason Romano. We'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum's podcast. Hope you all have a great rest of your day, and please do stay safe.